Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. I would like to welcome our listeners to another informative and educational edition of the George Jackson University Radio. I am Sister LaToya, and I am one of your co-hosts tonight. George Jackson University Radio is exactly... Give me just a second, I'll call John. George Jackson University is a collective collective of workers engaged in the struggle. George Jackson University has goals. They are fivefold. And our primary objective at this moment, I'm going to share the fivefold objectives with you. The first is to eradicate functional illiteracy among new African Black prisoners, then to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners, to transform the criminal mentality to the new African mentality, to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of the new African community, also to prepare the new African prisoners for release and reduce the new African recidivism. Now, before I bring my fellow co-host, Bramani Shakur, I would like to share a few events that happened in history this week. On November the 26th, 1883, the death of an abolitionist and orator, Sojourner Truth, Battle Creek, Michigan. In 1895, National Negro Medical Association was founded. In 1895, November 27, 1870, the death of Alexander Dumas. In 1907, the birth of Charles Alston, Harlem Renaissance artist and teacher. In 1928, Marjorie Joyner, a patent for a hair weave machine. She was employed by the Madam C.J. Walker Cosmetics Company and assigned her patent rights to the company. In 1957, the National Council of Negro Women elect President Dorothy Hite. And then in 1957, federal troops left Little Rock. 1960, Dr. Felix Hoop Howard. Biggany becomes the president of Ivory Coast. In 1960, Patrice Lumumba flees Leopold Deville, Congo. In 1997, 25 were killed in the second Tuhane massacre in Algeria. November 28, 1795, the U.S. pays $800,000 and a frigate as tribute to Algiers and Tunis. In 1879, battle and Lydenburg, South Africa. Jen Wolseley and the Kunes, Teddy Zulu. In 1904, Germany defeats Hottentot in Wombat, South Africa. The birth of Aku Nigeria. I apologize for pronouncing that name incorrectly. Deborah Johnson, wife of Fred Hampton. In 1950, F.M. Jones patents a two-cycle engine. And then with him patenting that engine, he had a patent number, and that is 2523279. In 1958, Chad becomes an autonomous republic within French community. 1958, Congo, Maturina becomes autonomous member of the French community. In 1960, Mauritania gains independence from France. That's a national day. In 1960, the death of Richard Wright. 1966, Coup and Bernadette overthrows monarchy. A republic is declared. Now, for November the 29th, 1781, the crew of the British slave ship Zong dumped 133 African slaves into the ocean, leaving them to drown in order to claim insurance. In 1803, Jesse Lyons and Christopher declared St. Dominique the Haiti independent. 1817, Congo Square, it celebrated the soul of New Orleans. In 1908, the birth of Adam Clayton Powell. 1916, U.S. declares martial law in the Dominican Republic. In 1947, the U.N. General Assembly adopts resolution in 181, partitioning Palestine into two new countries. Now, for November the 30th, 1875, A.P. Ashbourne patents the biscuit cutter. 1889, S.R. Scranton patents the curtain rod. 1948, baseball's Negro National League disbands. In 1966, Barbados gained independence from Great Britain. That is a national day. In 1975, Dahomey renamed People's Republic of Benin. In 1981, South Africa and anti-apartheid advocate in Delaney Nakuk arrested. And 1989, that She Bank board member Alfred Harrison is killed by a Red Army fraction bomb. Now, for December the 1st, in 1641, colonies gave statutory recognition. Massachusetts became the first colony to give statutory recognition to slavery. Other colonies followed, such as Connecticut in 1650, Virginia 1661, Maryland 1663, New York and New Jersey, 1664, South Carolina, 1682, Rhode Island and Pennsylvania, 1700, North Carolina, 1715, Georgia, 1750, and then in 1955, Rosa Parks is arrested for refusing to move to the back of a bus and give her seat to a white passenger in Montgomery, Alabama. 1960, Patrice Lumumba caught in the Congo. In 1964, Martin Luther King Jr. speaks to J. Edgar Hoover about his slander campaign. In 1965, South African government says children of white fathers are white. In 1976, Angola admitted to the UN. In 1987, the death of James Baldwin. In 1989, the death of Alvin Ailey, the founder of Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. December the 2nd, 1859, John Brown is executed or was executed. In 1874, Bird T.J. Patton's car. Cooping, December the 1st, 1874, and the patent number is 157,370. 1877, John Jasper Wright was the first black state Supreme Court justice. He resigned on this day from the state Supreme Court in South Carolina after the overthrow of the Reconstruction government and died in obscurity of tuberculosis. In 1891 was the birth of Charles H. Wesley. In 1827, Marcus Garvey released from prison, then illegally deported. They released from prison, then illegally deported him to Jamaica. In 1956, Fidel Castro lands with Granma on the coast of Cuba. In 1961, Fidel Castro declares he's a Marxist and will lead Cuba to communism. In 1969,
MVB, Brown Patent Home Security System. Then grade me and be like.
So at this time, Brother Bomani, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to you, and I greet you with revolutionary greetings and peace and blessings to you, brother. How are you today?
Revolutionary greetings, sister. Peace and blessings. I'm well, sister. I appreciate it. I appreciate you expressing that history and articulating to the people. Our weapon, our history is a weapon. It put in the hands of the struggle. It's a weapon utilized to uplift ourselves, to better ourselves, to seek independence, seek a foundation, to rebuild alone. Our life's the revolutionary to all. Free the land. Free the land. True indeed. Free the land. Don't say free all the prisoners. I want to let it be known that education is a bread. Education is a liberation, what Dr. John Henry Clark said. Before I bring on the guest, I'd like to read something from somebody behind enemy lines, because Georgia University starts behind enemy lines itself, and our whole goal is to transform the prison system to the biggest institution of in the world. All we do that is educate the mind of the mass of people. And the name of this writing is called I See Dead People. Okay, it goes like this. I'm black cold in the sense that I see dead people, not in the content of their being inanimate or devoid of life, but rather what is intended by the term dead, which is lacking any feelings or sensitivity. I see dead people in a place where every day is a virtual vision of Halloween in prison, as almost everyone wears a mask. They trick individuals to believe they were this or that on the street, so they come with no regard for consequences, treating themselves to the property of others, tasting the sweetness of bitter fruit. I see dead people, black, white, red people, in the grips of racial pride, under the guise of being simply proud of ethnicity, zombies, eyes wide but vacant. Where the walk to the mess hall is like being trapped in some weird documentary by Wes Craven. Graves in the form of bunk beds, where the mentally sick attempt to sleep away time, blind to reality day by day. Spiritual decay and distress eats at what left of frailty. I see dead people, haunted by their own mistakes, followed by the demons of desire and lust. And no such thing as trust do they trust. The saying goes, it's just us. Plus, who will await the dead? Perhaps the boss, who's carried his own cross, buried alive inside, crucified to these walls. I see dead people. Evil disguised as good, a matrix of darkness, but the heartless roam freely. I wonder, will tougher laws and prime politicians resurrect the dead? Will programs and studio restorative justice programs resurrect the dead? I think I'm dead, people. I now see myself in the mirror image of chains and pains, socially removed and almost dormant, like some disease, afraid to infect others with my BP, borderline pessimism. Awake me from my sleep. Convince me I am dreaming it all. Tell me it's some kind of butterfly effect, and that neglect really isn't real. Release me from my grave, prison. Already enough said. I will leave you now while I count myself among the dead. They were written by a brother named Keith Burley out of LaBelle, Pennsylvania. SCI Fed, Pennsylvania. He read it called Red Dead. It's like a poem called See Dead People. I'd like to welcome to the show tonight, Steve Coakley Jr. Are you on, good brother?
Dear brother, yes, sir, man. Much love and respect to you and the sister. Thank you very much for having me.
True indeed, brother.
It's an honor to be here.
Yes, sir, brother. Can you tell the people a little about yourself, brother, before we start out, man, who you are?
I'm Steve Coakley Jr. I'm the son of the researcher, Steve Coakley. I started off, I won't go too far back, but I was a city worker for the city of Chicago, construction labor. Having conversations back and forth with my dad kind of started my path in terms of me quitting my job, starting the nonprofits in Chicago, going to Africa, Ghana, setting up my programs, my transition programs, and et cetera. And that's what I've been up to, summary-wise. Like, you know, you can ask me whatever you want, but, yeah.
Okay, okay. Can you tell them more about y'all, the Moringa Maker? Can you tell them more about that?
Okay, yeah. Going to Ghana, you know, I was dealing with different Pan-African programs in Ghana. Ghana had 5,000 African-Americans that moved there, which is more than any other country in Africa. And so there's so many programs going on. I was doing so much, but I noticed the lack of funding. And so my whole one of the reasons of me going to Africa was trying to build a bridge from Africa to the United States in terms of dealing with the brothers and sisters that's still here, because the fighting is still here. I just can't just leave and just relax. And so I tried to think of different ways where we can empower each other economically. With the resources in Africa that I feel belongs to us and the Africans, and as one, and to be able to bring it back and help empower others. So I noticed a product, Moringa powder. One day I was talking to an herbalist, and he noticed I drink too many energy drinks. I'm always doing projects. I sleep only 2-3 hours a day. I'm always working, always on my phone, researching, et cetera, working on my projects, and I used to drink a lot of energy drinks. And he said, you need to switch it up to some 100% natural. And that grows in Ghana. And it was Moringa. And grinded into powder. And so I made it a business. I started shipping it from Ghana to America. I was wholesaling it to other brothers and sisters who sell in shops in different parts of the United States. West Coast, out in L.A., Georgia, Charlotte, Orlando, different stores, African stores, et cetera. And then I made a website, www.themoringamatrix.com. which I sell it for retail, which also it just helps me fund my projects and the stuff I'm working on as well in Ghana and the United States.
Okay. What actually is the significance of the moringa? What exactly does it come from? A tree? Does it come from a plant?
Yes, it's a tree. It comes from a tree. The person I deal with is a Ghanaian in North Ghana. It's some of the most potent soil in the world. It comes from a tree. It's a leaf. And what I do is we dry the leaves, and then we grind it into powder form. And when it's grinded into powder form, that leaves the shelf life for 3 to 5 years. And it's so many nutrients, vitamins. It builds up your immune system 100% natural, straight from Africa. And it only takes 1 teaspoon a day. And so, it comes from the tree.
Interesting. I know you had mentioned that you're working on a transition program for the African Americans to be able to relocate to Ghana in a small process, right? When you mean by transition, are you speaking about moving directly to Ghana or
moving directly, becoming a citizen? Both. First is the moving directly, because to move somewhere, you don't have to be a citizen in the country. The fees are so small, especially coming from the United States, the exchange rate. You're talking about maybe $7 a month to pay the government, which is what you would contribute if you didn't have a citizenship, like how the African-Americans are doing over there now. I hate using the word African-American, but I'm just trying to separate the difference for the listeners. So my transition program, I noticed people that's not retired don't have the pensions, the 401Ks, the Social Security checks that come in every month. And so the transition is way much tougher for people under 60. You have like 80% of people that move to Ghana, they're over 65. And so in terms of this program, it's for people who don't get the checks every month but may need a transition into Ghana where they're paying cheaper rent. The transition is cheaper in terms of learning the land, and also trying to find a way to make money in terms of empowering business, like learning the laws, learning the land commission's place, learning how to buy land, learning how to build slowly but surely instead of like the people who coming over on monthly texts where they can just come right in and they don't have to worry about the hustle and bustle. And so I noticed that. I was able to survive just basically like the Moringa Matrix. I also ship gold to people in Atlanta. So I was able to survive off my hustle instincts. But everybody shouldn't have to have that. And it don't. And I noticed how some of the guys my age, I'm 35 years old, that would come over and they would have so much trouble in the transition because they didn't know how to make money when they got there, especially not being a citizen. And so I felt like, okay, my transition program is about building apartments where it would be cheap. Basically, you're talking maybe about $80 a month for rent, and they could pay a year up front or pay month to month, and it's easier for them to slide in, learn from other people that's been there for 10, 15, 20 years, and et cetera, and then find a way, and that way they're not in a rush and make bad mistakes. This is for the people that want to leave America and go back to the motherland. You know, I don't even saying that's the end-all solution, but it's a lot of people that want to leave America, and I can understand them as well, and I want to make that program easier for them to transition in and also do business with people, with the brothers and sisters back in America, to empower each other on a way where we're wholesaling with each other, with the resources that come out the dirt from Ghana. For example, when I went to go get the gold, I bought 100 grams of gold, 22.65 karat gold. None of my friends never seen 22 karat gold before. And I'm at the source. And when I went, it was people from the UK there. It was people from China, people from Germany, people from Russia, white people from America. I was the only black dude from the United States. It was not even any Africans there. And so I noticed this. I'm like, well, this is the resource. This is the source of where this gold come out the dirt. I was right before you get to the mines. They don't let you go to the mines. So this is just an example of us going to the source and using this to empower us. We losing on this empowerment game. We not even funding our own projects because we don't have a source of anything. We disconnected with the people on the continent where all the resources are at. And so for this example, I was able to take this 100 grams of gold wholesale, ship it to Atlanta to a guy who makes jewelry in Atlanta. And he usually get his stuff from some Arabs and Jews who give it to him at already 14 karat after they dilute it. I sold it to him at 22 karat, which he never seen before. And this man been making jewelry for 10 years. And so just that process, not just the money we made, but just that process to show that it went from the mine to me. And it never touched a white man's hands. That's power in that. But it's so many fields we can do that in. We could do that in coffee. We could do that in chocolate. We could do that in moringa. We could do that in bean powder. And so many resources where we don't need to go looking and asking for jobs. And the projects that we want to fund, we fund them without having to ask for a grant. And then somebody tell us how we treat our own people and how we supposed to help our own people because we don't have the money to do it ourselves and do it our way. And so I'm very passionate about this, and that's an example of what I was doing in terms of in Ghana and trying to build right now.
Okay, brother. I got one more question. Then I'm gonna pass it to the sister.
I'm gonna pass it to the sister.
Then I'm gonna pass it to the sister. So she can ask a question, and she can open the line up for the callers, right? But my next question is, what exactly is the African American Association of Ghana? What exactly is that?
AAAG. It's a. It was actually started from a group of sisters who was married to Ghanaians in the early 90s. The organization started in the early 90s. It was a group of sisters that was from America that was married to Ghanaians that moved to Ghana. And so they was kind of lonely. And so they formed this organization, ended up being a AAAG. And so it's basically black people from America that's in this organization that does different things around Ghana and with events as well and host things when people come over to visit and tours. And so they have an actual property on the Du Bois property. W. Du Bois was given 5 acres for Kwame Nkrumah back in the 60s when he left America. He left America, denounced his citizenship, probably his last 4 or 5 years when he did really want to act right after tearing Garvey up for 50 years. But he left America, came to Ghana. Kwame Nkrumah gave him 5 acres of land. This 5 acres of land where we host our meetings at. the AAAG, you know, it's when I got there, I felt like it's a give and take. Like it's ran by some people that have been there 10, 20 years. The energy is kind of elderly. And so when I came, I kind of tried to bring some youth into it and try to bring some energy into it. So we would host events like poetry events, movie nights, dance events, different things like that to kind of juice it up, but also bring money to the organization. And so the AAAG is basically a membership program where people from black people from America come over and they kind of can link up and kind of just be, like I was saying before, like a transition program, but I feel it's just a little different, and I don't like their relationship with the U.S. Embassy, if I'm going to be honest with my people. And so that's how I'm being honest with my people. And so that's why I branched off into doing my own transition program, because I don't like taking white people money at all. I don't do it.
Okay. I want to thank you again, brother, for coming on our broadcast, share your knowledge, understanding your experience with the people. And I appreciate it. I'm reaching out to you. I'm going to pass it on to Sister LaToya for a question. Then after that, she's going to fly up the call. I appreciate it, brother. Peace and love, brother.
Much love, man. Man, appreciate you more, man.
No doubt.
Brother Steve, can you tell our caller? Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you again for being on the show with us tonight. And I love your energy. And I'm so excited about how passionate you are about being your own advocate, being your own boss, being your own shaker and mover. So I just want to commend you on that. Now, if you could tell myself, Brother Bomani, and the listeners the benefits of the Moringa, some of the benefits.
Okay, it has over 75 to nutrients and vitamins, over 90 amino acids. It builds the immune system and is great for energy. Those are the main things that I would list right there, just off the top. It's brilliant, like especially right now we're going through this winter season. It's good for people right now to take their teaspoon with tea.
Okay. And then you were also speaking about how, you know, just what you're doing with the Moringa, cocoa, chocolate, different things can be set up. Would you be willing and to help others make that connection so that those things can get started, just like what you're doing?
Say that last part again. I'm sorry, it broke up.
Would you be up to helping? So let me use myself for example. So like for the cocoa,
yes.
Or for like black tea or different things that come from over in Africa. Would you be like a point of contact of making those things happen or directing me? Directly to some of the resources to get something like that started.
Definitely.
Okay.
That's the part of the transition program I'm talking about in terms of both sides. It's not just people moving to Africa. It's about empowering the people that we have in the States, because the fight is still here. That's why I still have to have a base here. So, like you said, like when I was selling my Moringa wholesale, I was selling it so wholesale and so cheap that people can, you know, package it up and resell it themselves. That's what people do right now. Like I sell it to shops that they can't get it no cheaper from anybody else but me. But I'm doing that not just in the spirit of money, but in the spirit of empowering each other. And so, yes, that lane is definitely open. That's kind of what this program is about. It ain't just the people moving to Ghana. It's about empowering the people on this side. And, yes, those resources are available for people to resell, not just to retail and use it, and you guys are customers, but to empower us on a wholesale basis so that way you guys can feed your families and everything else through us. It's a bridge back and forth. That bridge is back and forth, not a one-way street. So, yes, most definitely, sister. I will be.
Okay, so
I can be.
Well, all right. So then, I'm not for sure. Well, I know you gave out the email address, the Moringa Matrix.
.com is the website, but that's not wholesale.
Okay.
You can email me at stevecopleyjr@gmail.com, stevecopleyjr@gmail.com. People reach out sometimes here and there, and I connect with them, and, you know, they get it going. And so I have people right now selling Moringa that I wholesale to. And I would love to have more people to wholesale. That's what I would rather do. That's part of the project. Retail was kind of accident because so many people didn't know what Moringa was. So then people like
right.
the white guy, Dr. Oz, started talking about it, and, you know, Oprah started talking
right.
about it. So now it's getting a little bigger. But in the beginning, it forced me into retail because people didn't know about it. They didn't want to sell it. And so now it's getting bigger.
Right.
And it's going to be other products, too. People can have other products
right.
as well. It's not just a Moringa thing. But that is my business that
right.
I'm trying to expand personally.
Okay. All right. So then I will be getting in contact with you because we, myself and some other sisters, we do the natural holistic approach to living here and, you know, always looking to advocate and make healthy lifestyles for our families and our communities. And with that connection with you, that helps us because sometimes, you know, we go to D.C. and get it from the Blue Nile. So
yeah.
I'm glad to know.
Yes.
That we can make that direct connect with you. But I really
Definitely.
Appreciate your time, and I extend warm greetings and peace and blessings and love to you. I'm going to open up the line for our callers that may have questions. So if you don't have anything, you know, else to elaborate on at the moment, I'm going to open up the line and let the first caller ask the question.
Oh, most definitely. I, you know, I'm ready to talk to the people. It's love. I appreciate the platform to better talk to my people. So it's love.
Thank you. All right. Okay, so call us 248-225. Your line is now open.
So I heard you
call Candace. 248-225. Your line is now open.
Just give her a minute, cook.
Caller.
248-225.
Well, we'll go to the next caller. Call us 616-589. Your line is open.
Hello?
Send blessing.
Peace and blessing.
Peace and blessing.
This is Tahudi Adefumi from Oyotundi African Village in Sheldon, South Carolina, the oldest African village in America today. First of all, if I may, I would like to say how much we appreciate the George Jackson University Radio for the work that they're doing, and we're very appreciative of that. I would also like to say thank you for Brother Bomani, who is a friend of mine, my family, and we thank him for the diligent work that he's doing also. And also, you, my sister, LaToya, we want to thank you for the work that you're doing. And last but not least, we want to thank the brother, Steve Coakley Jr., who I'm familiar with his father. I'm kind of elderly, and I've been in the studies for many years, and he is a great hero of mine. And I would just like to thank all of you for the great work that you are doing.
Much love,
well,
man. Much respect, man. And thank you for the great comments from my dad, man.
Yeah, he's a great guy, no doubt. He's familiar with my family. I am a nephew of King Adefumi, King Osejime Adefumi from Oyotundi African Village. And your father is familiar with my uncle who established that village down in South Carolina. And it's still there to this day, Oyotundi African Village. We're still here.
Yeah, much respect, much respect.
Yeah, same
to you. I appreciate
brother.
It, brother.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, Brother Bomani. I have been trying to get in touch with you a little bit. I know we'd be busy, but hopefully we can connect more in the future. I want to thank the brother for bringing the merengue to our attention, because this is a great product. Actually, we grow merengue in Oyutundji African Village ourselves. We grow we have our farm down there. We grow food. We have vegetation growing ourselves. And, of course, merengue is a part of the vegetation that we grow down there for ourselves. But we also get shipments in from Akiba land, from Africa, from different places. We're familiar with it. At this time, I would like to mention a sister who is very dear to us, Sister African Pearl. I can't remember. She's from the continent. She's from the motherland. If I'm not mistaken, it's either Liberia or Namibia, one of the two. I'm kind of confused on that right now. But the sister is here in the States now. She lives in the States. She lives in Washington, D.C., and she has a merengue farm, the largest merengue farm in America right now at this time. And she has some very large trees. I have been down there, and a very large farm. You might want to Google her and find her on Facebook or whatever. And this, again, is the sister African Pearl. That's her Facebook name. And you can connect with her and find out about the merengue that she's growing right here in the States. Awesome product. Awesome product. I agree 100% with Brother Coakley. This is an awesome product. You don't want to use too much of this stuff. You'd be running around like an energized bunny.
You all better sleep.
Yeah. No health drink is going to do for you. This is trusted, natural. It's healthy, and it's a great product. I would suggest that we get involved with the promotions and the wholesale, as Brother Coakley is doing, get involved in the wholesale and the retail of selling of this product, because it's a very good product for us, without a doubt.
That's true.
Besides that, I just want, again, I want to commend Brother Coakley for the great work that he's doing, not only with the commerce, but also with the transition of getting black folks in America to the motherland. This is a wonderful thing. It's a connection that's necessary. My family, we are Nigerian. We're very much connected with the folks there in Nigeria and Ghana as well. Ghana as well. And we want to definitely make a push for our people here in America to go home, to go to Ghana, to go to Nigeria, to go all over Africa and get involved in commerce. For we can strengthen ourselves, for we can become independent of the folks here who are basically our conquerors and our oppressors. I know this America, folks have got comfortable with America, but no, the people who are ruling over us, they are conquerors. They are here as invaders. This is our ancestors' land. We do have the right to this land, so we need to unite, and commerce is very important for the revolution. So we want to deal with these matters at this point in time.
Most definitely.
Outside of that, I don't have a lot to say on this program. I just, again, I want to come on and commend the brother for the great work that he's doing.
Much love.
Thank
and I'm
you.
Glad you said that about that it's our land here, because I don't ever want people to be confused with my project as a runaway project. This is the thing. This land is ours, and that's why the bridge, I say, is a two-way street, because the only thing I feel about the people here is I think we should still have that connection to be able to grab things from Africa in terms of trading back and forth with our brothers and sisters over there and be able to empower each other.
through business because all the other countries around the world is rushing back to Africa but us.
Absolutely.
And we don't even have any representation as black people in the United States. We don't have no representation. If you really think about it on a world scale, as I was going through the countries, even Ghanaians, Nigerians, people from Togo, the Benin, all over have representation in terms of trade. Even if they've been colonized or et cetera, they have representation. Black people in America has no representation. When they go to the United Nations, they represented as white people in America. We have no representation on a global stage. And even the people like Garvey and X later on in his life noticed was this is a global issue. This is on a global scale. I think we do need to take it on a global scale. But you're right, brother. This is our land. And that's how I feel about it as well. But I want to empower people here and put arms in their hands based on empowering and being an East from the continent where we do right. That's our do right, you know. And so much love and respect, bro.
I agree.
Yes, I agree. I agree 100%. Myself, I'm third, fourth generation Garveyite. One of my uncles, he was a lieutenant in Marcus Garvey's army. So we are definitely black nationalists. Black nationalism is this is our stand. And we do understand that black nationalism will be the savior of black folks in America and worldwide pan-Africanism, of course, because we must get to the point where we understand that we have to become separate and independent on our own ancestors' land. We cannot continue to let these people rule over us, or we will remain in a modern-day slavery society. So we must understand that black nationalism has to be at the forefront. We have to understand these things. Marcus Garvey was a black nationalist, of course. Malcolm X, many. So I cannot name all these people, but this is very important for us to understand that black nationalism is what's happening for us because we saw the blueprint that Marcus Garvey gave us. He told us what you have commerce and unified communities of our own. He's allowed us to see what the benefits of that is for the black people in America. And the benefit was so great and so powerful that, of course, we know in the early 1920s, the power was so great for us to understand black nationalism and to empower ourselves through black nationalism. The Ku Klux Klan come and wipe out all of the Black Wall Street. They talk about the Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but this is not the only Black Wall Street. We had Black Wall Street all across the country back in the 1919s and the 1920s. We had Black Wall Streets all across the country, and this was due to black nationalism. And this is the greatest fear of our oppressors, but this should be the aim of our people once again, to reunite. It's not a matter of uniting. We have been united before. And for people who say, how can we have a black nation here in America and we are oppressed here? Well, at this time, when they had segregation, black people did not ask that question because we could not be integrated. We could not depend on the oppressors because we're not allowed to participate in their economics and so forth. We had to have our own. So no one was saying, how can we have a black nation of our own here in America? Because we had one at that time. And was forced to have one. So now the trickery of integration.
Parse out, brother. I ain't trying to cut your wisdom, brother. But the guests gonna be with us for a limited time, so I got a couple more callers. Want to get their questions in, right?
Well, I appreciate your time, and again, I want to pay my respects to Brother Coakley, and also to the rest of the crew there on the broadcast, and I will not take any more of your time, and I thank you. I thank you very much for this.
Much love, bro. Reach out to me, man. You got the email. Reach out to me. It's love, man, always.
You will hear from me very shortly. I promise you.
True indeed, Brother Tejuda. You got you, bro.
Okay,
thanks.
It's wonderful.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys, and I will sit and listen to the rest of the show, and I am having a great, great time tonight. Trust me.
Appreciate it, bro.
Okay. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings, bro.
So our next caller in line is 614-779. Your line is now unmuted.
Thank you, sis. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sister.
Okay. My name is Elder Mama Kandi. And
the first thing I'd like to do is greet the sister.
I don't know if you're familiar with me, sweetie, but I can't push one because I'm blind. So just be patient with me.
Take your time.
Then I'd like to greet you, Bomani, Frida Lamb. How you doing?
Frida Lamb, I'm Edam, I'm kind. I'm well. So how about yourself?
You know how I'm doing. And Brother Steve Coakley Jr. Your
much
dad.
Much love, sister. I feel your energy already, but love.
Your dad was like a big brother to me, man. He was like a big brother to me. And when he would come to Ohio, he'd hang out with me, B.B. Ashe, Baba Bill Morrell. Baba Bill Morrell had a library. He inspired me, him and Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark. I now have a library of over 6,000 books instead of a living room.
Mm.
And that inspired me, man, because he was so into, you know, these books, especially books that we allegedly weren't supposed to have access to.
Yeah.
And I used to prepare raw food vegan meals for him. I loved him, man. He was such a grassroots, down-to-earth people kind of person. Brothers and sisters would show up. They ain't had no money, but they had some food stamps. He accepted those so people could come in and interact with him. He was absolutely beautiful, and I miss him. I miss him. I miss him like sweet breath. I miss him.
Sister, those words you're saying, it's like, and I want the listeners to understand, and even on my path and my journey as well, like, when I got to Africa, my father never been to Africa. And so when I got to Africa, I didn't know anybody face to face. I made this risk and took this jump on just on faith on some phone calls. And I was just ready to make the moves happen. And so when I got there, people would tell me stories about my dad, like how you just did, individual stories. And I would always, like as a grown man, and when I got there, I was 33, like I would really like tear up because it happened so much in my life that I would see how he impacted so many people. And I knew, like, he didn't taste money. He didn't taste fame. He just did what he loved to do, and he loved the people. And I see how he impacted. It opened so many doors for me throughout my life. Like, things that he didn't leave me. Like, when he passed away, it was no inheritance. It was no money, no houses, no cars, any of that. But his name, just having his name, it made it so much easier for me to even do the little stuff I'm doing right now, building up to the bigger stuff. And I appreciate that so much when people tell me stories about them, because it's like it reminds me about doing something and doing it from the heart and being passionate about it. And it's just it's crazy just to hear it so much. It's like it's everything to me, and it helped me so much in my family as well, and opened doors where it made it easier for me to make these transitions and for me to. My obligation now is to reach back and help my people, but, man, it's an honor always to hear the stories.
It's a different kind of inheritance. It's like a karmic inheritance.
Yeah.
And your Baba was a very principled and honorable type of person. So you inherited that from him, and you inherited the love that he shared with us and the love that we gave him back. You know,
yeah.
it's a meiotic relationship, reciprocal.
Yes, yes.
Then
yes.
I'd like to also say to you that as an elder, I am extremely proud of you. Extremely. You let elders like me know that our efforts are not in vain. You honor your Baba's name, and I'm proud of you for that. And whenever you feel like you're in doubt or some other spiritual vampire creeps up on you, you know, fear, anger, any of those spiritually vampirous kinds of negative energies, just remember, if I can't give you anything else, remember that you are the breath that your dad breathed into you. And just keep breathing deeply. Please don't stop.
Those are great words. It's much appreciated, too, especially in these times, because some of the projects I'm working on, it takes time. And people, you know, and it's love. I think people come genuine at it, but a lot of times it's like, hey, you're Coakley Jr. You're supposed to be doing what Coakley Sr. was doing. And I had these conversations with my dad. My dad passed when I was 30. And so I had these conversations with him where I knew I wasn't him. I wouldn't even trick the people. Like, I could be a scam and run out here and do, like, people ask me to do lectures. And I, no. I wouldn't even dare walk that way. He did it in a special way. And I'm here to do my projects and do what I'm supposed to do to contribute to my race. And, you know, it's love. I appreciate it, though. I appreciate the comments, but it's love. You know, it gets tough at times, but, you know, it's love.
And to the sister, what's your name again, sweetie?
Yes, ma'am. My name is LaToya.
LaToya. Bless your heart. Yes. I heard you say that you're into holistic and health and homeopathy and herbalism and nutrition and yada, 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 yada. And I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm very proud of you. I am what I call myself a conscious citizen worker in the Ministry of Health, Provisional Government, Republic of New Africa. And I work with some other sisters. I'm in Ohio, they're in Tennessee, and we do a broadcast, actually a tri-cast. It's on Instagram, Facebook, and on the conference call venue. And we do that every Monday. And we just talk to people about health, different things that affect Black folks. We all take Moringa. And,
wow.
We also recently opened a health clinic for Black folks. And we do an annual vegan food festival. So
okay.
I just wanted to share that with you. We each have our areas of health that we do. We have one sister that does yoni steams. She does other things as well. She imports herbs from Jamaica. And another sister, she does the vegan food and some other things. And we have another sister that deals with molestation and domestic violence. And then my area is home childbirth. I've delivered hundreds of babies for Black families at home. My area is also education. I built 5 independent African-centered schools, K-12, and co-authored the curriculum. And so we do a lot of things. And as a collective, we have what we call rhythm of life. So I just wanted to share that with you since that's what you're into.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that information. And I would like to speak with you offline if you don't mind me giving me your number, and I'll contact you so I can get the call-in number.
Is Johnny Cool on the call?
Try to listen in on Monday.
Is Johnny Cool on? You know Johnny Cool, right?
No. Johnny Cool is not on, Momokani.
Okay. Does he know you, sis? He has your number?
But Brother Bomani, I guess he could help me make that connection, Mother.
Okay.
He could.
Okay.
Yeah, that's. Yeah,
thank
well, I really appreciate
okay.
you sharing that information. Thank you. Peace
okay.
and blessing.
Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop. Don't let nobody turn you around or convince you you're going in the wrong direction. You are not. You're going in the right direction.
I will
direction.
Not.
Keep right on going where you're going.
I appreciate that.
And thank you all, especially you, young Steve. Thanks for being here. We appreciate you, man.
Oh, it's love. Yeah. I'm here. I'm here. Much love. Thank you. Thank everybody. I love everybody. It's love.
I relinquish.
Thank you. Okay, Brother Bomani. So we've allow all the callers that we have on the lines to be open. If Brother Bomani doesn't have anything else to add, Brother Steve, would you like to, give your email address and your points of contact before we close out? Or how you can be reached? I know earlier you stated your email address,
yeah,
but if you want to, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to leave all my info. Yes, my email address is Steve Coakley Jr. with a JR at gmail.com. Steve Coakley Jr. at gmail.com. My phone number is area code 407-613-1732. And my website for the Moringa is www.themoringamatrix.com. People can reach out. It's all love. I got time for anybody. Good conversations. Whatever they need to know, it's love. Like, I'm here. I'm here for my people.
True.
So it's love.
True indeed. True indeed. True indeed. Brother, I'd like to thank you again, brother, for coming on to our broadcast and sharing now that we understand your spirits with our people and making connections. You're reaching out. And if anyone have any loved one, relatives, or a friend, associate behind enemy lines, look into our website, which is www.georgetechuniversity.com. Again, it's www.georgetechuniversity.com. And become educated. See the benefits of being a student at Georgia University Radio. Maybe being a student at Georgia University, which our goal is to educate and liberate the minds of all the people and masters, especially in regards to the prison industrial slave complex, to transfer the criminal mentality to a revolutionary mentality through educational means. And I want to say peace and love to all, free the land, revolutionary greeting, free all the political prisoners, and everyone who's educating themselves on any kind of level and endeavors, and continue to do so and be the best you that you can be. Peace and love.
Peace yeah. and love, Ashe.
Peace and love.
Yeah.